He passes ahead to Grady Dick, who corrals it in the corner. Lobs to a wide-open Uday, and a two-hand rim-rocking jam thrown down by Ernest Uday. And we get a timeout on the floor with KU now up 21. McKellar up the floor, lost the handle, plays it ahead to KJ. Right side kick out, Wando for three, missed it short, but a right hand throwdown. Grady Dick soaring in to slam it home. What a follow flush by Dick. Final 8 seconds to be played here as Howard's looking for one more bucket. Weaver passes up on a three, 2 seconds, 1 second. Shot is blocked by Jenk, and you can rock. Chalk it up, the Jayhawks win for the 16th straight March Madness. Kansas moving on to the round of 32.
Well, it was a little stressful for KU fans in the first half. Howard hung in there with KU for a while, but a late run in the first half broke a 33-33 tie. KU led 50-37 halftime, and they cruised to the victory. Jalen Wilson with 20. Grady Dick, 19 points, 11 rebounds. KJ Adams, 13. DeJuan Harris, 11 points, 7 assists. Kevin McCullough, 10 points, started and played well. Bill Self was in Des Moines, helped with some practices, but still not cleared to coach on the sideline during the game. He hopes to be on the sideline tomorrow when KU plays Arkansas, who knocked off Illinois 73-63 yesterday. Norm Roberts, the acting head coach for the Jayhawks, on the win in the first round over Howard 96-68 yesterday in Des Moines.
I don't know if well oiled, because I know Bill Self is going to kill me when I get back to the hotel. If we got into a rat race game, I mean, it was going up and down. Our guys are like, get me out, I'm tired. But we made some big shots. We got stops when we needed, but we really got to tighten up our defense.
Yeah, defense wasn't great, but it's a first-round game where Howard couldn't stop KU either, and KU puts up 96, and they win rather easily there in the second half, 96-68 the final, and KU, 16 straight years of first-round victory, 28-7. They'll get Arkansas, and that'll be an interesting matchup, be a tough second-round game for KU, but I think nowadays a one seed usually is going to face a tough matchup in the second round. Kansas barely got by Creighton a year ago. There was a few years back in 18, I think it was, against Seton Hall, where Kansas made it to the Final Four that year, and they squeaked by Seton Hall. So there's, and of course, Northern Iowa knocked off KU in 2010 when KU was number one overall seed, and that was, Northern Iowa was a nine seed, and that was a second-round game. So no guarantees that you get past the second round. No guarantees you get past the first round, as we saw yesterday with some teams, but we'll talk more NCAA tournament here in a moment. Ron Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, will join us to talk about that win over Howard and look ahead to Arkansas. But we do have a local sports note before we go back into the games from yesterday.
Yeah, we have an area graduate from Thunder Ridge High School that has been recognized by the Kansas Jayhawk Community College Conference as the Defensive Player of the Year, and that's Brennan Kirkhoff from Thunder Ridge High School. She's playing currently at Barton Community College there and has helped lead the Cougars to the NJCAA tournament for the first time since 2008 as well. Again, she was named the Defensive Player of the Year yesterday, and she was also named an honorable mention all-conference selection for Barton after averaging just under 9 points, 4.5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal and a half per contest, playing in 30 and a half minutes per game, starter there for Barton here this season. So congratulations to Brennan Kirkhoff from Thunder Ridge on those honors. Kirkhoff and Letty Cougars will tip off the national tournament coming up next Wednesday against Moberly, Missouri. In Lubbock, Texas is where the tournament is at now. Back in the day, it used to be in Salina, I know, but it's now in Lubbock, Texas, and that's where Barton will be competing coming up next week. So again, congratulations to Brennan on her honors with the Jayhawk Conference.
Absolutely. Congratulations on all of that, and best of luck to them going forward. Well, the tournament yesterday, there were a couple of huge upsets. The biggest one came later in the day.
Missed it. Larson gets it. Throws it down the floor. It's over. 15 beats 2. Princeton upsets Arizona 59-55 in a shocker in Sacramento.
It's the third straight year that a 15's beat into two. Third straight year.
Yeah.
And it's 11th time in the history of the tournament, as last year was St. Peter's, a 15 beat Kentucky a two. Oral Roberts beat Ohio State, a 15-2 matchup a couple years ago in 2021. Princeton, pretty amazing stuff. They win the game 59-55. They close the game on a 9-0 run. They were 4 of 25 from 3, and they only attempted 5 free throws. That usually does not.
It's not a recipe to win an upset at all.
No, and it makes you wonder what was up with Arizona. By the way, if you think you're brilliant and you're an expert on picking teams to make it to the Final Four, or you haven't done very well so far, don't feel bad. Jay Billis is a lawyer, not that that matters right now, but he's a smart dude who covers basketball for a living as well, and he had Arizona in the Final Four. So even the guys that are close and think they know everything about it do not. He had Arizona in the Final Four. I did not. I had Arizona, I think, going out in Sweet 16. They burned me last year, so I didn't go too far with them this year. And my wife had Arizona, I think, in the Final Four. My sons had Oral Roberts going the Elite Eight. I have Duke going to Final Four, so that worked out well for me with Duke beating Oral Roberts yesterday. But let's go through some of the games. The other big upset, of course, was Furman over Virginia, which I actually picked that one.
I got that.
There were actually a couple people that picked that. You said you picked it, Jason. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a few people that picked that when I was putting brackets into our contest. I did not.
Can we just go ahead and just say it's over with our bracket contest? Because this will be the best I ever finish if we stop right now. Because what I looked at was 13-3. I missed three games. I'll tell you something right now. I'm usually 9-7, 10-6, and I'm all usually the second day of the tournament today on a Friday. You know what I'm normally doing? I'm ripping it up. I've actually wadded it up and threw it to the wall. Dusty knows this. He's witnessed this.
Yeah.
I absolutely can burn my bracket immediately. So having said that and bragged about what happened yesterday with my bracket, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I will wad up my bracket and I will throw it against the wall because my bracket will implode today. I am very confident of that. But it is nice to actually have the lead in my family after at least one round of the NCAA tournament. But
you got the lead on here just to pump up your
ego. Do I really?
Today. Yeah.
Woohoo! I have the overall lead in our competition?
Yeah, we're not going to say where I'm at, but okay. Jason is right in the middle of the pack.
And I'm at the top?
Yeah.
And you're at the bottom. Usually
I'm
you're at the
32
top.
Out of 32 brackets that are on.
Wow, here. Yeah. You're usually near the top. I'm near the bottom.
I got six right yesterday.
Yeah. Usually it goes like this. You're near the top. I'm either middle or the bottom. And then Dusty Lowry's last. That's how it usually works.
Dusty Lowry actually had a bracket this year when I put it in. I was like,
"That's not bad.
Well, this kind of looks normal."
That kind of looks normal? Like you're surprised by that.
But he's still not doing
not
overly
so
great, but nobody is, right?
Who's in second place in our contest?
Lisa Miller's second place.
Lisa's only second place. All right. So yesterday, here are the games we'll go over real quick. Alabama took care of Texas A&M Corpus Christi, 96-75. Maryland squeaked by West Virginia. I was so close to picking Maryland in that one because I was like, the Big 12, I really do want to change and put Pitt over Iowa State. But I will go ahead and stick with Iowa State just because you second guess yourself, you get in some trouble. But you could just see West Virginia probably losing that game against Maryland. I just didn't know enough about Maryland to pick them. So I missed that one. San Diego State wins over Charleston. A lot of people had Charleston as a 12 over the 5. Furman over Virginia. Virginia, you know, they had that game won, and I don't know what their senior guard was thinking other than I can throw the ball high enough in the air to milk 8 seconds. He threw it way too early. They had a timeout, and then Furman hit the three, and I feel sorry for that kid because I hate to see a team lose on a mistake like that. But Virginia now, the last 4 years in the tournament, they've gone out in the first round, lost to a 16, won the national championship, and then lost the last 2 years of double-digit seeds. So they've lost three of the last four in the tournament with first-round exits as a high seed, but won it all. So you talk about feast or famine with Virginia. Missouri knocks off Utah State 76-65. Of course, Princeton beat Arizona, the big upset. So Missouri now looks to be in a great situation to move on to Sweet 16 if they get by Princeton. In the East, Duke destroyed Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts was a sexy pick by a lot of people, including a couple of my family members. I think, did you guys have Oral Roberts? Dusty, you had Oral Roberts, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Duke rolled him 74-51. Tennessee gets by Louisiana 58-55. And then over in the Midwest, Houston struggled. Marcus Sasser re-aggravated the groin. That's where I'd like to change my pick as well, because I picked Houston based on Sasser being able to go, and he re-aggravated it. So I don't know what his status will be coming up tomorrow against Auburn. Auburn knocked off Iowa 83-75. And then I had Penn State over Texas A&M. You guys have Penn State over A&M?
No.
I did not. No, I had A&M.
You know why I picked Penn State or A&M? Because Everybody's talking about, oh my gosh, A&M, Texas A&M versus Texas.
I knew something would ruin it, but I picked it to be that way, but I had a pretty good feeling it wasn't going to happen.
That's why I picked Penn State, because I was like, first of all, I thought A&M's overrated. Two, I think Penn State's on a roll. And three, I'm like, it will not be what everybody wants. It won't be A&M and Texas. So Penn State against Texas. Texas took care of Colgate 81-61. They made a ton of threes. We know what happened with KU winning and then Arkansas winning. And then Northwestern, I missed that one. I had Boise State winning. Northwestern beat Boise by 8. And UCLA crushed UNC Asheville 86-53. Games today, it is number 10 USC against number 7 Michigan State at 11:15 this morning on CBS. Kennesaw State versus Xavier at 11:40. UC Santa Barbara against Baylor at 12:30. VCU at 12 against a 5 St. Mary's. That's at 1 o'clock on TBS today. Vermont, the 15 versus the 2 Marquette. I think Marquette better be leery, 145 on CBS. Pitt versus Iowa State at 210 on True TV. I think that'll be a dogfight. NC State versus Creighton at 3 o'clock on TNT. We know who Jason's cheering for. Iona versus number 4 UConn. That's an interesting 13-4 matchup at 3:30 on TBS. A lot of people have UConn going deep in their bracket, including myself. That could blow up my bracket, as I was talking about earlier. Fairleigh Dickinson, 16 versus the 1 Purdue at 5:50 on TNT. Providence and Kentucky at 6:10 on CBS. Drake versus Miami. Miami's a 5 at 6:25 on TBS. Gonzaga, the 3 versus Grand Canyon, the 14 at 6:35 on True TV. Number 9 seed Florida Atlantic against number 8 seed Memphis at 8:20 on TNT tonight. K-State at 8:40 on CBS against Montana State. More on that in a moment. Kent State, number 13 seed against the 4 seed Indiana. I think that's an interesting game. 8:55 tonight on TBS. In the late game, number 6 TCU against number 11 Arizona State at 9:05 on True TV. Who would have thunk that Arizona State will still be moving on or still playing in this tournament longer than Arizona? But that's exactly what has happened. Tomorrow, KU will play Arkansas at 4:15 on CBS, but we'll have it on the radio on Z96.3 The Lake. Pregame at 3:45. Other matchups tomorrow, San Diego State against Furman. Tennessee and Duke should be interesting. Missouri against Princeton, Houston versus Auburn, Texas against Penn State, UCLA will take on Northwestern, Alabama versus Maryland. I'll be honest, I don't think those matchups tomorrow, there's not too many sexy matchups.
I know, you're reading all those off, and I mean, I already saw them last night, but it's like, as you're reading them and I'm hearing them, it's like, what are we watching tomorrow?
if Tennessee was full strength, I think that'd be a heck of a game. I just don't think that will be. And I mean, Kansas-Arkansas might be one of the best games tomorrow. Auburn's got a shot against Houston, no doubt, with Houston depleted with injuries and they're banged up. And the other games, I just don't see, I don't know, UCLA-Northwestern might be interesting. I don't see Alabama having any problem with Maryland. I don't see Texas having a big problem with Penn State. So could be wrong on that. And I think Missouri, I think Princeton will be done in the second round. 15.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have the 15 to the Elite Eight this year.
Yeah, like St. Peter's last year. All right, tonight K-State takes on Montana State Bobcats. Bobcats, the 14 seed. K-State is the 3 seed. Jerome Tang on what the Bobcats have to offer.
They win, right? They have a winning DNA. Watched them in the tournament last year, and you know, obviously that wasn't the result they wanted or the showing they wanted to show. So I know all summer long these dudes have been preparing for this, right? This is not a 1 week or 3 day preparation for them for this game. This is a whole year that they've been preparing for this game. So I know they're going to be ready. And I told them, it's going to be a 40-minute grinder, right? They've got big, strong bodies. They get to the free throw line. They make more free throws than their opponents shoot. You know, they are extremely physical and extremely well coached. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
There's some people think Montana State has a shot in this one tonight. There's others that think this is a great matchup for Kansas State. I have no idea. Because pressure is one thing. The tournament is another. And then if you let a underdog hang around for a while, like you saw with Furman, when you saw with Princeton yesterday, and Howard hung around for a while, and obviously Northern Kentucky hung around with Houston for a while, Louisiana hung with Tennessee towards the end. There were some scares yesterday that didn't turn into upsets, but you have to be on alert. There's no doubt about it. And I think K-State will win tonight, and I think they will. I think it'll be a similar game as KU's. I think it'll be a battle for maybe about a half, and I think K-State will pull it away. That's my prediction.
Yeah, that's kind of what I feel. I think that just it'll take them a little bit to get their legs and get into this kind of a game. And I think Montana State has enough to maybe hang with them early. But I've not like dove in deep on this team to see everything about them. But I'm not overly concerned about this one. If the other coach was here, maybe I would be, because it seemed like higher seats were not good.
Right.
But I just, right now, I'm not overly worried about it. Maybe I'll pay for saying that coming up later tonight. But
we had Kellis Robinette on the show yesterday, covers K-State for Wichita Eagle, Kansas City Star. He doesn't seem to be too overly worried about Montana State. He really thinks that Marquette would be a really tough matchup for K-State if that would happen. A lot of people think K-State and Kentucky will meet in the second round. I wouldn't be surprised if Kentucky loses to Providence, to be quite frank with you. But Kellis, if you missed that interview, it's on our podcast page there, Sports Ticket Podcast on KDCountry94.com. It is interesting you brought up the name Bruce Weber.
That's why I said the other coach. I didn't bring his name up.
No, but I want to point this out.
No, go ahead.
So Kansas is playing Arkansas tomorrow. They could have played Illinois. And the coach that all K-State fans, it seemed like, were all gung-ho about because he was the next coming of John Wooden was Brad Underwood. That's what I know people very close to us that are huge K-State fans were absolutely just like, back up the Brinks truck and give Brad Underwood everything he wants, even convince him to leave Illinois and come to Kansas State. It's funny how things work out, right?
Yeah.
Because this is interesting. Brad Underwood at Illinois, which is a Power 5 program and a big-time conference in the Big Ten. Brad Underwood at Illinois. In six seasons, has been to the NCAA tournament three times. He has one tournament title. He has one regular season title. And the best Illinois has ever done in the tournament under Brad Underwood is get to the second round. They lost in the first round yesterday. Bruce Weber, horrible buffoon of a coach, right? Bruce Weber, 10 seasons. So think about this. Brad Underwood in six seasons went to the tournament three times so far. Bruce Weber at arguably a tougher conference, the Big 12, although some years the Big 10 might be better than the Big 12. Bruce Weber in 10 seasons has gone to 50% NCAA tournaments, five, just like Brad Underwood, three divided into six. He's had two Big 12 regular season titles, which if Brad Underwood coaches 10 years in Illinois, he might match that or exceed it. And the best run for Bruce Weber, the Elite Eight. Now, yes, you caught a break, UMBC beating Virginia, but that's part of the tournament. You catch breaks. And Illinois has been a higher seed multiple times, and they've lost, okay? In fact, they should have lost in the first round last year to Chattanooga, and they barely won to get to the second round. So everybody thinks that Brad Underwood is brilliant, at least some K-State fans think that, and Bruce Weber was a buffoon, and Bruce Weber's now gone. Brad Underwood didn't take the job or was ever offered a job or went to Illinois and got too much money to even be considered for K-State, and then whether or not you thought you could bring him from Illinois to K-State last year or whatever. The bottom line is you got Jerome Tang, who could very well go further in the tournament than both of these coaches in his first year. Now, that would be something if he went further, because that'd be the Final Four. Mm-hmm. But he could match Elite Eight, possibly. But he would do better than Brad Underwood in 1 year. So isn't it funny why we don't want fans running our institutions? Like we talked about how we didn't want – good thing the Royals weren't run by the fans or Ned Yost would have been fired in 14. Dayton Moore would have been fired, and the Royals probably wouldn't have made it to the World Series in 14 or 15. Isn't it funny how there are people that did not want Patrick Mahomes drafted? They wanted Deshaun Watson. And how many Chiefs fans were telling us, you can't trade Alex Smith. He's the number one rated quarterback in the league. Well, I think it's safe to say that we were right on that one. You hand it off to somebody that could take you further. It's a good thing that fans don't run institutions or colleges or programs or anything like this, because if K-State was run by the fans, they'd have Brad Underwood. And we don't know. Maybe Brad Underwood would be as good as Jerome Tang right now. But I think it's pretty hard to imagine him doing any better than Jerome Tang in his first year in the toughest conference in America in the last 20 years, according to Dick Vitale, who's seen a lot of basketball. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it works out. I remember when Larry Brown left Kansas after the 88 title, and everybody's like, oh, Kansas got to get this big splash. And they got Roy Williams, and nobody knew who Roy Williams was. And there were KU fans like, seriously, we're getting an assistant coach named Roy Williams. He's never been a head coach before. That wasn't the fans' first pick. That worked out pretty well, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brad Underwood, for all the people, the K-State fans just hold him in the highest regard. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything like that. And I'm not saying he's a bad coach. But so far in Illinois, it's not super impressive. I mean, yeah, it's nice. You got a tournament championship. You got a regular season title, 1 in 6 years. But he's only made the tournament. I mean, Illinois, he should make it every year. He shouldn't make the tournament just 3 out of 6.
Yeah,
and maybe you could say, well, I'll cut him slack for the first year. But he should be in the tournament more than 3 out of 6 seasons.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that part of it. I would still if you ask me who I would have rather have between Brad Underwood and Bruce Weber, I'd still tell you Brad Underwood.
Yeah,
but
right.
Not Jerome Tang, obviously, right now.
Right.
I think that's obvious. But, yeah, Brad's held in high esteem because he's from McPherson. He's a K-State
right.
guy, and he's always the guy that goes to the top of the list when there's an opening at K-State.
Just like
it's
Brent Venables
like Brent Venables,
football.
Exactly. That's exactly mm-hmm. where I was going. It's like everybody talks about Brent Venables when there's an opening at K-State for the head coach, which has happened three times, right? And everybody's talking about Brent Venables. And like, there's stuff inside to where people that actually know K-State know that was never going to happen, that he was going to be the head coach at K-State.
Right.
Whether it's right, wrong, I don't know exactly what happened, but I do know there are things that happened that he was not going to be the head coach at K-State, and it was pretty obvious because he probably would have come. Now it's even more obvious now that he's actually a head coach at Oklahoma. And so, but yeah, Brad Underwood's name comes to the top because he's a K-State guy. He was here at K-State under Frank Martin. People still have a love affair with Frank Martin, too, and that adds into it. For some, I still have never gotten that, but that adds into it. And then the fact that he had success at Stephen F. Austin, Oklahoma State, the 1 year he was there, and they liked what he did there, and then he went to Illinois, and it's just like there's so many things that go into it to where he's always that first guy that came up.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know Jerome Tang. Like, I didn't follow Baylor basketball close enough to know who Jerome Tang was, but once he started learning more about him, you liked him.
Well, that's
and then
exactly
when he had his
what
press
happened
conference,
with KU and Roy
you really loved him, right? And then now that he's had an actual season, now you even love him more.
Sure.
And so you're sitting in a spot where, yeah, obviously, with hindsight, it's like, yeah, no, they made the right decision without question.
Isn't it interesting that Roy Williams never was a head coach,
mm-hmm.
came in, and they had to inherit a team that was on probation, and went 19-12 his first year on probation. And Jerome Tang comes in, never been a head coach, assistant at Baylor, and he slides in and does what he's done at Kansas State. Yeah, sometimes the athletic directors may know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They may.
There's not a real reason to doubt Gene Taylor at this moment
no,
in time. That's for sure.
Absolutely not. All right. Well, I feel bad because Jason has a chance to set anything, and he's wearing this beautiful Creighton Blue Jay polo shirt.
Go Blue Jays.
So, Blue Jays, Creighton wins tonight by how many against NC State?
Nine.
He had it ready to go.
Yeah, he's
particularly
ready.
Score in your head.
82-73.
It's Nostradamus over here. 82-73, mm-hmm. Creighton wins. How deep are you got Creighton going into the tournament?
I had Sweet 16, but I had them getting beat by Arizona. So maybe an extra round.
Maybe they go Elite Eight.
Yep.
Knock off Missouri.
Yep.
Maybe in the Sweet 16, mm-hmm. possibly. That'd be a nice run. The WNIT was underway last night for the K-State women.
Gregory, screen set by Maupin, zips it over to Ebert. From Frankfurt, back to Gregory, though you transfer. Skip pass to Briley Glenn. Drives all the way to the hoop, flips it up and in off the window. Nice, aggressive take to the goal by Briley Glenn.
Man, that's a joke of a play-by-play announcer.
I feel like I've heard that voice before.
Yeah, no kidding. That man, they really scraped the bottom of the barrel to find a fill in last night. K-State women dominated Wichita State. 90-56 was the final. They had 11 threes. It was 19-12 after one. They outscored Wichita State 55-23 in the middle quarters. Serena Sundell, 16 points. Briley Glenn, 15. Jalen Glenn had a double-double, 13 points, 11 rebounds. Gabby Gregory with 13. K-State women now 18-16. Move on to face the winner of tonight's game between Wyoming and Texas A&M Corpus Christi, not Crispy, in the second round. Wichita State finished their season 18-15. You know, as a play-by-play announcer, you want close games. And I don't like blowouts, and I didn't like the fact that game last night was a blowout. The only good thing is you're calling the game for the team that's winning by a lot. Mm-hmm. It sure beats calling the game for the team that's losing by a lot. The first game I ever covered for K-State women back in 2013 at UTEP. Keitha Adams was the head coach at UTEP. UTEP had a really good team that year, and I was excited about the opportunity. It took forever to get to UTEP. There's not a direct flight, by the way. And I get there, and I studied, and I prepped so hard to just knock it out of the park. And within 5 minutes, K-State women were down 24-4. And I turned to Randy Peterson, SID, and I said, well, I guess there's probably hardly anybody listening after I worked so hard to get prepared for 40 minutes of basketball. And Keith Adams' team rolled K-State. Final score was 84-39 on November 16th of 2013. 10 years later, Wichita State is coached by Keith Adams. She went from UTEP to Wichita State. First time she has faced, I think, K-State since that game. And it was in Manhattan last night. And do you know what the score was with 6:04 to go in the fourth quarter last night? 84-39, K-State over Wichita State. Randy Peterson runs up to me after the game this idea. He says, that's payback, isn't it? And I forgot for a second. He goes, wasn't it UTEP your first game? I'm like, you know what? You're right. Things do come full circle. So that was pretty crazy.
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years later, it was the opposite. K-State was up 84-39 against a Keitha Adams coach team. WNIT continues tonight, 19-11. KU host host 19-13 Western Kentucky, 5 o'clock on ESPN+. Plus. The women's NCAA tournament first round gets underway today. Jason's Creighton Blue Jays, the 6th seed, will take on 11th seed Mississippi State at 5 this evening. And the only Big 12 team in action in the first round NCAA tournament, West Virginia, 10th seed, got in. They're going to take on the 7th seed Arizona at 11 o'clock this morning. Chiefs news real quickly. They have re-signed Nick Allegretti, so that's good. Depth on the offensive line. He can play tackle. He can play guard. He can move left side, right side, so that's nice to have that insurance. And they've officially signed offensive tackle Jawan Taylor, who's expected to be the left tackle, and defensive tackle Charles Aminhu from San Francisco, who I think that's a really good pickup with some upside for the Chiefs as well on the defensive side of the ball.